Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, let's talk to the Diddy. You know, one of the things we've loved about this season was bringing Ray Dittinger back as a weekly guest on our show, obviously for so many years here on WIP. Then he had retired, and then Ray graciously agreed to be a weekly guest again on our program, and this time it goes all the way up to Super Bowl 59. We welcome him, the legend, Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
Doing good, Joe. How are you doing?
Oh, Ray, I'm so happy. I am so happy. Ray, tell me your thoughts off the top of the Eagles, the performance yesterday, and obviously going to be arriving in Super Bowl 59.
Yeah, I know. It's a great one. You know, there are so many different ways you can look at yesterday's game. I mean, it's the kind of game where Nick Sirianni, when it was over, you know, referred to a total team effort, and it really was.
Yeah.
It really was. I mean, the offense, obviously, you know, 459 yards total offense in a championship game. That's pretty impressive. Working through some injury issues on your offensive line, you know, the defense coming up with all the takeaways, and some big plays on special teams. You know, a couple big returns and good field position, and you know, the special teams forced a takeaway at a key moment that's helped the Eagles open a little space there in the first half. I mean, every phase of the game, the Eagles won, and that's how you win championships.
Yeah,
games, really.
No question.
It's so funny watching the game and watching that pitch to Barkley to start the game, and him going 60 to start the game. I just had a flashback to Wilbert Montgomery against the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
I just did. I mean, that's, you know, championship game at home in front of the big crowd, all that electricity. You hand it to your big guy right there. Well, in Wilbert's case, it was the second play of the
game.
That's
right.
In his case, it was the first. But just watching him, you know, we'll all remember the sight of Wilbert bursting through the line and heading it down the open field to the end zone at Veterans Stadium. And when Barkley turned that corner and started opening up the field, I said, my God, this is Wilbert Montgomery all over again.
So I thought the same thing.
You love having good memories like that.
Yeah, well,
Lord knows we've had enough bad memories, flashbacks to bad things. It's nice to have one that's wonderful.
Well, and I'll give you one just for what it's worth. So Wilbert and Deuce both scored on the second play of an NFC Championship game. And of course,
yeah,
Eagles,
one better than the other. Yeah,
so both went through my mind, but I get your point entirely.
Eagles undefeated,
right,
against the NFC East in championship games,
how about
too.
That? How about that? All right, Ray, I thought Jalen was superb yesterday. His performance, what'd you make of it?
Really good. Really, really good. I mean, for all the questions and all the doubts and all the concern and all the angst that surrounded him all week about, you know, how hurt is he, how much is he going to be able to play, how limited might he be. All that stuff. I mean, he went out and he played great. You know, 20 for 28, 246 yards. You know, 110 quarterback rating, which to me doesn't even begin to describe how good he was. You know, throws for one TD, runs for three. He was great. I mean, he really, really was. And you know, that's a big thing. I mean, you're going on to the championship game, and he's going up against, you know, the best of the best, and he's going to have to be. He's going to have to be as good as he was yesterday and then some to win the next game, because he's going up against the best big game quarterback you got in the NFL right now. So he's, you know, the Eagles have been down this road before, and you know, they took on Tom Brady when he was at his peak, and they found a way to win that game. They're going to have to find a way to do it this time. But Hurts was really, really in command. I mean, there were a lot of really good plays that he made in that game, but the fourth and four pass to Brown down the sideline was just great. I mean, it's, you know, they're in a quarterback walking the earth that could throw that ball any better than he did. I mean, he just dropped it right in the bucket down the sideline, and that was a big play in that game. And, you know, they made a lot of them. And, of course, Saquon is, you know, he's the guy everybody's going to focus on. But you come away from that, I'm coming away from that saying, God, you know, there was, with all the pressure and all the eyes that were on Jalen Hurts and wondering, is he going to be equal to the moment? Well, he was equal to it and then some.
Just incredible performance. The offense overall. I did feel like, Ray, the defense in terms of stopping some of those conversions, the third downs, the fourth down conversions, our defense, did they take a step back against the Commanders? And how concerned are you moving forward about that conversion rate, that situational football, third and fourth down conversions? Did our defense take a step back?
I don't think so, John. I think they just ran into it. You know, that's a hot offense.
Yeah.
They really are. I mean, they scored 45 on Detroit last week. So, sure. I mean, that's a hot offense. You weren't going to shut them down. I mean, they were going to make their plays. But in the second half, when you really needed to, you know, they came up with the stops. And the, you know, the turnovers, listen, I mean, we talk about it endlessly, about how big turnovers are in all NFL games, but especially in the postseason. And the giveaway-takeaway thing is what swings the balance so often. And never was that true or more true than yesterday when you saw that. I mean, the four takeaways was huge. And if you look at where the Eagles are right now, they're plus 10 giveaway-takeaway in the postseason. I'm not talking about the regular season. They're plus 10 in the postseason.
Wow.
I can't remember the last team I saw that had that big of an advantage in the turnovers in just the postseason. And if you go all the way back to the bye week, you know, when things were really sort of on the edge with this team and nobody kind of knew where the season was going, at that point, at the bye week, they were minus six as a team. And since then, they're plus 27.
Wow.
So there are a lot of reasons and there are a lot of things you could point to about how this team turned it around and the various aspects of this team that turned it around. And you can point to Barkley, of course, that's where most people will start, and the defense is number one, that's true. But, I mean, the giveaway-takeaway is just huge. I mean, they're taking the ball away at an amazing rate, and the quarterback's protecting it better than anybody. So that's the formula, and now they just got to do it for one more game.
Some Oren Burks once again, you know, went out there and made plays. I did not expect that there would be such a legitimate, like, across the board, whoever goes down, the next guy up really is equally, you know, as competitive. Once again, Howie Roseman, Ray, can you speak to the job that he did this year? It might be the best job he's ever done, and it's not that close.
Yeah, I mean, when you factor in all the aspects of roster building with the draft, and then the free agents that he brought in, and then the other thing nobody really talks about, but is really important in the overall scheme of things, is the extending of contracts.
Yep,
you know, extending contracts with existing players who are young and you really have a future and you want to lock them up.
And you're not stomping on everyone's toes. You know, the way that Howie accomplishes these contracts and re-ups people, just think about how vastly different it is from a place like Dallas, where it's always consternation and, whoa, they're mistreating their guys. Here, it feels like everything gets done and guys like it. You know, Devontae Smith gets the big deal. AJ also has the big deal, and they're good with it. You know, he somehow finesses these relationships to keep everyone happy while assembling the most powerful group of guys ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I don't think anybody would argue the fact that this is the best roster in the NFL, the best top to bottom. They're that good. And Howie's the guy that built it. I mean, that's for sure. And to your point about Burks, you know, I don't think anybody in town knew who he was, even up to like a month ago. I mean, he was just a sort of a role player. But now, you lose N'Kobe Dean, and now you got to replace him. And it's a pretty big spot.
Yep.
And he goes in there and plays really well. And I remember Seth Joyner telling me one time about the psychology of teams, and especially the psychology of winning teams. And Seth said something. He said, you know, sometimes when a player goes down, a star player, a really good player goes down, and you know you lost him, and now the backup, you know, next man up, he has to step up and play. He says, what will happen very often is that that guy will play way over his head because he doesn't want to let everybody else down. Mm. The feeling, you know, when you step in, you understand the responsibility, you understand who you're replacing.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And you understand the basic framework of the defense, and a guy who's just an okay guy will play like way over his head because he doesn't want to let down the other guys on the team. He said, I've seen that over and over and over again, and I think you're seeing it with Burks right now. He's playing really good football.
Ray Dininger with us, as he is every Monday at this time. Ray, let's talk about Sirianni. Curious your perspective, if you can kind of paint the picture of the story of Nick. Now, I know the story is not over. Long way still to go in his career. But I am struck by the last two coaches in Philly sports to win it all were punching bags at various points in their career. And that was Doug, and that was Charlie. And Sirianni might be about to make it 3-for-3 in that regard. I marvel at his ability to blend new school concepts like going for it on fourth down and connectivity and that stuff with old school principles like toughness, fighting through adversity, attention to detail, and accountability. Can you speak to the Sirianni story?
I think you did a pretty good job of it right there. I think that's, when I look at him, that's kind of what I see. I mean, over the course of this year, I mean, he's made some decisions and done some things that had me shaking my head. I think a lot of people have felt that way. But the one thing that you cannot deny, and this is where winning coaching really begins, is do the players believe in them? You know, I mean, it's not what you are drawing up on the blackboard. It's not what you're saying in front of the meeting room, really. I mean, if the players don't believe what you're saying, if the players don't believe the game plan you're giving them, then it doesn't matter if it's good, bad, or indifferent. It's not going to work. It has to start with them believing that this guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's going to give us a game plan that we can go out and win with. He understands what we're good at. He also understands what we're not good at. And our game plan is going to be such that we're going to be no matter who we're going up against, he's going to have us prepared to go out and beat that football team. It really has to start with just that belief in the players that this guy has the map. He has the plan that can get the best out of us and take us where we want to go, and that Nick has that. You know, he's never, at the end of last year, it was fair to question it. At the end of last year, when you saw the way this team just completely bottomed out at the end of last year, and then went down to Tampa and just and basically had a no-show in a playoff game in Tampa, there was very real reason to wonder if there was now an irreparable disconnect between him and the players. Because on the outside looking in, it certainly looked that way.
It absolutely did.
He told us that
he was struggling. He told us, hey, if I had answers, I would have, you know, executed those.
Right.
That was a major problem for me at the time.
Yeah, and I think that when you really look back on it, the change at the coordinators was just so huge. I mean, you went from the offensive and defensive staff of last year, which had major problems, and Sirianni was sort of the guy that was left standing there.
But what about that, Ray? What about the fact
you replace those guys with Moore and Fangio that have been really good. I mean, really, really good in that area. That's an immense help to the head coach because he's got two guys there that he can really lean on.
And I have faith that Vic Fangio, I love the idea that he'll be back. I don't know that Kellen Moore will be back. What about that?
Well,
what
not getting the, Dallas chances? Is probably...
He's got a second interview with the Saints in person this week. Yeah.
Okay. What about that, Ray? The fact that, you know, that is problematic. This probably will be another offense next year for everyone to learn. That is a major... That's what holds me back most about Nick.
Well,
yeah. The spot that I thought he was most likely to wind up was Dallas, and now that Dallas has filled that chair,
so that could be great for us.
It greatly increases the chances that Kellen Moore will be back, and I hope that he is, because I would not want to see them have to start over again with a new offensive coordinator.
Likewise.
Now there's only the one spot open, and that's New Orleans, and that's just a mess. I mean, I know Kellen Moore wants to be a head coach, and I he deserves that opportunity, but I don't know who would take that job. I mean, it's a bad team; they're in salary cap complete disarray. You step in there, I don't know how they're going to get that house in order. I don't think it's a particularly desirable job. You know, if I'm Kellen Moore, I'll just say, you know what, I'll take a pass on this one, and I'll wait for something better in a year from now. Because the Eagles aren't going away. I mean, the Eagles are going to be there for a while, and I think there's every reason to believe that Kellen Moore will still be a hot property a year from now with maybe better opportunities. So I think the likelihood, as you ask me right now, the likelihood, I think he's going to be back here next year, and that's great. You know, that will help everybody.
Ray, let's talk about Super Bowl 59. So 52 certainly had a better ring than 15 and 57. What are your early thoughts on Eagles Chiefs Super Bowl 59?
It's like a movie script. You know, it's like a playwright's dream. I mean, you've got the Eagles, the team with Saquon Barkley, who's been, for whatever else you want to say, I mean, he's been one of the biggest stars in football this year. He's one of the biggest stories of football this year. You know, a guy that left a bad situation and found and turned down more money in other places. I don't know if people realize that. I mean, there were at least three other teams that offered him more money than the Eagles, but he chose the better opportunity over the contract. And because this was where he wanted to go, because this was where he felt he had the best opportunity to achieve success. So, I mean, that's a big story in and of itself. And then on the other side, you've got the Kansas City Chiefs, who have all the star power and are going for something as unprecedented in the Super Bowl era, which is three in a row. And then you got, on top of that, you've got they're being coached by the coach who took the Eagles to a Super Bowl before. So, I mean, there's a million different angles to this, and a lot of young stars that are really coming on. I mean, you've seen, you know, Jalen Carter has now become sort of a marquee name.
Yep.
I mean, you watch the games now, and you see how much they isolate on him and how much they talk about him. I mean, he's become, talked about as maybe the best young defensive lineman in the NFL. So, if you were like casting a movie, this would be a perfect one. This game coming up, because you've just got that Philadelphia fan base, and you know, you can just imagine. Because I was at Super Bowl 15. I saw what the Philadelphia fans were like on Bourbon Street. take that Philadelphia fan base, that Philadelphia fan passion, and you put it down in Bourbon Street in Super Bowl week. That's a story in itself.
I love it. All right, Ray, final thing. I'm curious, in that vast brain of yours, if you have contemplated yet this possibility. If Mahomes gets hurt during the game, the Eagles will be facing Carson Wentz in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Thought about that.
It's unbelievable.
I thought about that. And the way this thing is playing out, you almost expect it. You know, I mean, there's so many aspects about this game. There's so many, you know, as journalists, we talk about angles on games, you know, the angles in games. And there's a million of them here. And that's one I actually did think about. I mean, how incredibly ironic would this be if something happened to Mahomes? It's not that I'm wishing it, but if it did, that Mahomes went down and you had Carson Wentz come in and to play quarterback for the Chiefs against the Eagles. And he's now trying to achieve the history that Patrick Mahomes was striving.
And he'd be the backup that comes in and wins it for, you know, for the team, like Nick did for, you know, anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's
wild.
It's the Nick Foles scenario all over again.
Wild.
Except Carson Wentz.
Yeah, and he's not going to win the game. Hey, Ray, we'll talk to you a lot, obviously, in the lead up to the Super Bowl. Thanks so much, my man, for being a huge part of the show today. And we'll talk to you coming up soon. Thanks, Ray.
Okay, take care, Joe.
There he is, the ditty.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.